This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What time is it? It's crowded time!
Excuse me. Couldn't get to the cough button there in time.
Didn't notice.
Did you just put on your Cubs World Series ring?
It feels good. And I know how much you hate the fact that I got a ring.
Yeah, the Hall of Famer, one of the greatest middle linebackers in Bears history, indeed, down here with Mike Singletary.
Did you see Die Hard?
Yes.
Yeah, I did too. That was awesome.
Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Samurai.
Not a Mark Grody.
Hey, Cordero, can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
Man, I ain't even talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So it's been kind of a devastating day for me with Bubba and then the bird. So
Bubby.
And when the Patriots took a 3-0 lead.
Les, the Bears were America's team. What are you talking about?
No, they weren't. They weren't. Everybody.
Yeah, sure they were.
Everybody. You weren't down there. I was.
Mark Grody.
Here I am, unmuted. There it is.
Oh, hi, Mark.
On 670 The Score.
I'm telling you, the Bears were America's team. At least through a child's eyes. That was me. Believe it or not, Grobber was the adult in that situation. But were Les and I ever adults? I don't even know if I consider myself that right now. Happy Saturday, Chicago. How are you? We gave Steve Rosenblum the day off today. I am Mark Grody, here to save the day, provide support here for the WB Club, the Saturday Suckageers. So I will provide today for you support and sports. I am here with you until 12:45 today. That is when Cubs baseball takes over. Cubs and Padres this afternoon at Wrigley Field. Pregame coverage begins at 12:45. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer will call for the first pitch at 1:20, it says, on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. Wow, that's interesting that they are going to, so Pat and Ron will actually get to say, we are prepared now, let's start the game, we are calling for the first pitch, so that will happen. On the show today at noon, there will be Cubs talk, as a matter of fact, as you're driving out to Wrigley Field. I thought that would be a perfect time to bring on Lance Brozdowski of the Marquee Sports Network. He could talk about the team that is on the field. He could talk about prospects, all of that. I don't know that we're really in prospect land right now. Interesting start for the Cubs here, a couple games over 500. So we'll get into that. I've been watching these Cubs games pretty closely as well. So that's coming up. Also, I had a nice long talk yesterday with Todd McShay. Todd McShay, the draft guru, you know, from all of his years at ESPN. He's now working for The Ringer, does a show called The McShay Show. I did see him in a nice big setup out at the Combine. Talked to him yesterday, and I'm going to bring back some key components to that interview that I know Bears fans will be interested in hearing about. So that's coming up here on the show before 12:45. The Bulls won again. We'll talk a little bit about that. But first, a man who is freshly returned from the NFL owners meetings in San Diego. He is the Bears beat writer, one of them, for the Chicago Sun-Times. He is a Padres fan. He is Patrick Finley. Pat Finley is on the score. What's up, Patrick? How you doing, my man?
I'm good. Grody, how are you?
I am doing well. I actually was meant to text you like literally the last 2 days. I kept meaning to text you. It was a frivolous thing, and maybe that's why I forgot. I assume that you're going to or have been to already one of these Cubs-Padres games since you are the – I mean, we have to ask you about the Padres before we get on to the Bears. Yeah.
I presume this whole interview would be Padre-based. No, you know what's funny? I didn't go yesterday because we'd just gotten back from Palm Beach in the owners' meetings. Today, my son has a travel baseball doubleheader. So I'm speaking to you from the parking lot of a baseball complex in Mount Prospect. And we lost the first game 7-6 in a heartbreaker. But hoping to have a better day later today. And ideally, I'm going to go tomorrow, but we'll see the results of today's travel baseball. And that will make the decision for me.
All right. Well, hey, Boone Finley comes first. That is good to hear that you're being a good father. And I sincerely appreciate you coming on with us. And now it makes a lot of sense why you're like, yeah, let's do this right away. Let's do this at the top of the hour because I got stuff going on, which makes sense to me. But you are a valuable asset to this radio station because you were at the owners' meetings. And there are just so many different directions that we can go when it comes to talking about the Bears. I guess I'll start with, since it was the owners' meetings and the finale was George McCaskey and Kevin Warren speaking. So I guess I'll ask you about the team first and the succession plan and what your thoughts were on it, because we've been talking about this. Pat, you know this from being on the beat as long as you have been, but this conversation goes even longer, as you well know. People speculating, hey, what's going to happen once a Virginia McCaskey passes on? Are the Bears going to sell? Are the Bears going to keep the team? Do fans want, you know, just so much discussion about it. And we started to get some sort of idea of what direction it might go. What did you conclude, or I guess infer, from what George McCaskey was saying about the team going forward?
You know, I mean, the old party line, as you know, used to be that we are going to own the Bears until the second coming of Christ, right? Something like that.
Right.
And what we heard this week was George McCaskey saying we want to own the team for another 100 years. You know, the tone is a little different. But he was clear that there is a succession plan that the NFL approved a long time ago, and that as long as they follow that, the team is going to stay in the family for what they hope is a long time. Now you can feel kind of the weight of having to hold it all together coming from George that maybe wasn't there before. You know, there are a lot of people in this family, and you got to keep them all pretty happy in order to maintain. Family control in the team. And I'll tell you this, they're going to consider selling 10% of the team to private equity. Kevin Warren's going to give a report to the board of directors in May about whether or not that would make sense. Now it's a silent partner. You know, if you sell 10% to private equity, you know, you make all the decisions. Private equity doesn't get anything. But, you know, that would be different here too. And I think the specter of that is intimidating to George and to everybody in the family, that it's just so different. And they may have to do it quite honestly, they may have to do it to afford to build a stadium. And if they do it, we're now talking about, you know, high level, very big, you know, high level stuff, huge dollar amount, you know, and then construction of a stadium. That's heady stuff for anybody, much less for somebody who is, you know, learning, I guess, on the fly, how to function now that the matriarch of the family is gone.
Wow, yeah, man. The way you put that, that's some heavy-duty stuff, obviously, from an emotional standpoint. And now it's like right into the financial pit as well in terms of trying to figure out where they go. Issue number two, you started to allude to it, and that is what is going on with the stadium. Of course, that's more in Kevin Warren's direct path and his purview, if you will. What are you concluding from what you heard from Kevin Warren or George McCaskey about where the Bears' next stadium will land?
I was really proud of myself for not using a horse racing pun in my story, so I'm going to use it on the radio because I can't help myself. Arlington Heights was a stalking horse for the last 13 months. They essentially existed for, as pressure on downtown Chicago. And they were the Bears, even though they owned 326 acres, they were, I think pretty clear, at least publicly, they were the Bears' second choice. I don't think that's the case anymore. They presented it as, we like both places. I read between the lines and think that Arlington Heights is far more likely at this point than downtown is. I think the Bears were curious whether this messaging would prompt any sort of movement on the downtown front. I don't know that it has. I mean, we're only a couple of days out, so that's, we will see here pretty soon. But I think the tone of what everybody was saying, and again, you read between the lines a little bit, I think Arlington Heights is more likely to be the next home of the Bears than not, as we sit here right now.
Just where I stand with the stadium stuff, I am one of those people who maybe is a little bit careless in the thought process as somebody who does live in the city of Chicago, obviously in the state of Illinois. I'd love to see a downtown stadium, but the realism seems to be taking us to Arlington Heights. And I think I hear Patrick Finley back on the line. Pat, are you back with us, my friend?
Yeah, I'm right here. I asked George about this the other day. Can you hear me, Grady?
I got you, bud.
Okay. I asked George about this the other day. What do fans tell you when the stadium stuff comes up? And George essentially says that the people who live closer to Arlington Heights want it to be in Arlington Heights. The people who live closer to downtown want it to be downtown. And it's very much a how close is this to my house situation, I think, for a lot of people.
Okay. And for some, it's get this the hell away from my house, too, probably.
Oh, yeah, a little not in my backyard. And I live in Evanston, and they're building a Northwestern football stadium a block and a half from where I barbecue my hamburgers at night in my backyard.
I
do love it, but there are inconveniences that come with that.
And
my car has been permanently dusty for 2 years. and I certainly understand people in Arlington Heights who have some trepidation about this, and I do not blame them in the least if they don't want to have to deal with it. I think everybody, you, me, George, Kevin Warren, I think everybody in a perfect world would rather see the Chicago Bears play in Chicago. I think they'd rather keep the stadium on. By far the best piece of land any pro stadium is on in America. I mean, maybe we could argue, the Giants baseball stadium? Maybe? Is that it? It's a really short conversation. There's a uniqueness there that I think everybody appreciates.
PNC Park getting a lot of love these days for Todd. Have you been to PNC in Pittsburgh, Pat?
I have not. But yes, you're right. With the Clemente Bridge, that's a really good one. I think everybody in a perfect world would like it to happen downtown. But, the Bears will pay for their own stadium in Arlington Heights so long as everybody builds the infrastructure. That's not the deal downtown. And that's part of what is slowing down whatever momentum they thought they were going to get. Remember, less than a year ago, they had that press conference the day before the draft saying, we're going to put a stadium here, and isn't it awesome? And I think they were hoping that you combine that with Caleb Williams on national TV the next day, and there would be this groundswell. And I don't think it ever really happened the way they'd hoped.
I think you're right. It was quite a presentation. I mean, they pulled out all the bells and whistles, and it was fancy. I was there. You were there. It was quite a day, but we shall see. We'll see if Kevin Warren still has a couple of plays left in his basket, but I agree with you. It does seem all the momentum is Arlington Heights. A couple more minutes with Pat Finley before we let him go continue to watch his child play baseball in Mount Prospect, where I actually – I did play some baseball in Little League, but I was also in the marching band, and I remember marching at that particular place. That just came to my brain. Pat, on the field, it seems like a best-case scenario with signing Case Keenum. You had to get a veteran in that room, right?
Yeah, I think so. Let's not walk past this marching band thing real quick. What instrument did you play? I'd love to know.
I actually played for until I was 21 or so. I played clarinet, Pat. I played clarinet and in the marching band since I was like one of the dudes that played clarinet. I played bass clarinet because I could handle it.
If somebody say at Hallis Hall, if somebody walked in one day with a bass clarinet, could you play it?
I could play any clarinet you put in my hands. Yes, I could still play it at a decent level. I can read music. Can you believe that, Pat?
That's fantastic. What question was I going to answer?
Oh, yeah, Case Keenum. That's right, that. Yes.
Yeah, you know, the Bears thought last year that they would be okay with Tyson Bagent as the backup and essentially letting the coaches handle the veteran stuff. They had Ryan Griffin, this guy who used to play for the Buccaneers, as a low-level assistant, and Griffin was in his late 30s, and they kind of figured, you know, maybe he could be the big brother here. And that just didn't work out. And one of the reasons it didn't work out is there is a lot of time in the NFL, when players are around other players and they're not around coaches, and right. to have somebody on the inside, so to speak, who can spend all day with Caleb and, you know, maybe not instruct him all the time, but at least steer him and educate him about the ways of the NFL, I think is very valuable. Case Keenum, in that regard, makes a lot of sense. If Case Keenum plays it down this season, I'd be shocked. He is not the number two quarterback. He is the number three quarterback with a bullet. There is no question in my mind about that. So he is going to be here to be that veteran voice. And you were in the media room with us when Chris Beatty and others would talk last year about Caleb and preparation.
Uh-huh.
The message wasn't that Caleb didn't know how to prepare. The message wasn't that he didn't care. It was that you need to be efficient in finding out the best ways to learn in the NFL.
Yeah, yes.
I think that's what year two is going to be about for him, is learning what works best for him, because he's putting the time in. And you know, the question is, if you're putting the time in and if you're not doing it efficiently, what are you accomplishing? I think Case Keenum will help him put that time in a smart way. What works for him might not be what works for Caleb, but boy, I think it's going to be good to have him around.
Man, you put that so well, because there's been these overtones about Caleb Williams, almost like people are saying he's lazy and aloof and like is not putting the work in. But I think, to paraphrase you, you're saying you got to know the right way to do the work. You need to know the how to go about this. And I always go back to, Pat, one of the most important things, or the things that I feel like I learned something, was from the interim head coach Thomas Brown. If we're going to go back to these guys, on that final game after the post game Green Bay, and Thomas Brown talking about some of the real one-way conversations that he had with Caleb Williams, which didn't necessarily even sound like they were pleasant conversations, but conversations that had to be had. That's where, you know, my antenna continued to go up in terms of Caleb Williams. It has, up until maybe this point, and maybe that point, hasn't necessarily been learning correctly at the NFL level.
Well, he's had three offensive coordinators in 17 games.
And that
now
hurts.
Now he's on number four. So that does not help him. And, you know, I think both things can be true. I think that Caleb, as an individual, needs to learn the best way to prepare on his own, and nobody can do that for him. I also think it's true that the Bears did not put him in position to succeed last year when they had so much turnover in terms of who was in his ear and who was calling the play. So the hope now is that Ben Johnson is the Bears play caller for the next 10 years. And that part seems to be smoothed out. And now they need Caleb to make that leap in his second year. And, you know, Andy Reid kind of said it, or he did say it to me the other day at the owners meeting. He said, you know, if you get it and if you have it figured out at the end of your second year, you really have something. And I think the Bears are really curious to see whether they have something.
Wow. Clock's ticking then, man. This is going to be an incredible year, and it's already been an incredible offseason just in terms of the bounciness of it and what's happening. Pat Finley, thank you so much. I will let you proceed to game two. I wish you and Boone and the rest of the Finley family luck in game two out there.
Thank you. It's 43 degrees, so the fans have it harder than the players do.
The fans have it hard. I mean, that hurts, man. When you swing, do they use aluminum bats still? I assume yes.
Oh, it is so cold. I'll be quick. It is so cold that you can't use composite bats today because they might crack.
Wow. Oh man. Yeah. I'll see you, Pat.
All right. Thanks, Grody.
You got it, man. That is Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times. Boy, that's a juxtaposition. The guy was just in Palm Beach, Florida, where I imagine it's getting starting to get nasty hot, right? Isn't this nasty hot season in like Arizona and Florida, at least heading into it?
So yeah. That humidity.
Mm-hmm. Right. The nasty hot season. That's what I call it. Or at least that's what I've decided to call it right at
the
moment.
Is that not what you called your era of clarinet? Not nasty hot season? No.
Yeah, I
have to thank him so much for following up on the clarinet story, because I was wondering too. So,
well, I started playing clarinet in fourth grade, and I was honestly like I was pretty good at it for some reason. I was musically inclined, and I remember there was a point where I was ready to quit just because it's not cool. I didn't want to practice every day. You get these private lessons. It's a whole thing, right?
Sure, sure. It's a commitment.
And then my mom. I don't even know if she'd remember this, but she sort of gently pushed me in the direction of continuing to play. Not like one of those, you've got to play this clarinet, son, we're locking the room. And it was just kind of like, you know, I just remember being very gentle, yet sort of stern at the same time. Like, you're pretty good at this. You might want to keep doing it. And I did do it up until through my freshman year in college. There's a little piece of me you didn't. I can't believe I never, Sean, in all the overnights that you and I did together, we did like 2 years of overnights or 3 years. I don't even remember.
Yeah, you brought it up once. I think I made the mistake of assuming that you were playing the clarinet to get to the saxophone, and that offended you.
Maybe that was it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Saxophone is, by the way, an easier instrument.
That's what you told me. See, you were very upset that I assumed the clarinet was the stepping stone to the saxophone.
Exactly. It's quite the opposite. If you could play the clarinet, you could play the saxophone. It's not necessarily vice versa.
Oh, I'm well aware now. You've informed me, and it's all. We won't make that mistake back here again.
You know what? I haven't picked up an instrument probably. God, when was the last time I picked up the old clarinet? Maybe 20 years ago or something. Like that, probably more recently than that. So, Mom's, what I'm saying is, I haven't kept up. Maybe these days it's easier to play the clarinet than it is the saxophone.
No, I don't think
things would change.
I don't know.
That wouldn't make much sense. All right, gotta take a break. When we come back, I want you guys to hear about a 3 minute chunk or so of Todd McShay and what he has to say about the Bears and the upcoming draft. It's really good stuff. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything.
From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty.
Watch me flip these puppies.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And with you, up until 12:45 right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 'Twill be the Cubs and Padres today. Again, Matthew Boyd against Nick Pivetta. The Chicago Bears, right now, choose 10th overall in the first round of the upcoming draft, the April draft. They've got a couple of those second rounders that one must keep in mind as well. And yesterday, I had an opportunity to talk a little bit about the Bears draft on our show On the Clock with Todd McShay, the former ESPN analyst. He works with the Ringers these days. He does the McShay show. And he is very interested in and fascinated by the position that the Bears are in. Take a listen to Todd.
We all love what they did in addressing the interior offensive line. The priorities are in the right place, and they handled the priorities. And then a couple of new defensive front guys. Ben Johnson saw it in Detroit. You got to get the trenches figured out, and then you add the Ferraris and the other pieces to it, right? And so now you're sitting there at 10, but I think just as importantly, quite honest, those picks 39 and 41.
Mm-hmm.
Those are huge, man.
Yes.
Because let's just kind of dig into it here. Cam Ward's going number one. My estimation, and I think you would get this as a majority in the league. I'm not saying it's consensus, but a majority. There's six position players that are considered, what do you want to call it, like top tier, elite, blues, blue chips, whatever the name is you want to tag on. But there are six guys that everyone kind of agrees, or a lot of people agree, are the other guys at positions. That's Abdul Carter, the edge rusher, Travis Hunter, Mason Graham, defensive tackle, Ashton Jeanty, running back from Boise State, obviously, Tyler Warren, tight end, and Jalen Walker, the edge rusher from Georgia. So you're sitting there at 10 and you're Ryan Poles, right? and you're praying, obviously, that, you know, Cam Ward goes one, Shadur comes off the board, maybe it's at 3 or another team moves in, or it's the Saints at 9. And you're actually praying that Jackson Dart gets involved too, is in the mix. But even in that scenario, right, the dream scenario that three quarterbacks go in the top 9 and those other six guys come off the board, they're gone. And so, like, you have to have a trade partner, but no matter kind of how this thing shakes out, I'll be surprised if they're not sitting there at 10 saying, all right, we can kind of get the same player, the same graded player at 15, 17 that we can get at 10. Mm. You know what I mean? Because, yeah. When you look at it, you're like Ashton Jeanty. That would be amazing. Let's pair him up. We got Swift. Now Ben's got the combo like he had in Detroit, right? But Jinty's probably going to be gone. Then you look at Campbell, left tackle. Yeah, a little shorter arms. Arms are longer at pro day than they were at the combine, but he can play left tackle, and we think it's going to be an upgrade there. That would be great. But he's probably going to be gone at 4 to the Patriots. Jalen Walker, pass rusher extraordinaire. Yeah, but he's going to be gone at worst case 8 to Carolina.
Right.
And so it's going to, and Membu's worth the pick. Armon Membu, the tackle from Missouri, but he's a right tackle. You already got that
guy. Yeah. Yeah.
So that to me is going to be interesting, but and so maybe it is a Shamar Stewart. You know, maybe it's a Mike Green. I think it's a little high for him. Maybe it's one of those pass rushers. I love Omarion Hampton, but again, I'd love to get him at 19, 17, not at 10. So in regard, they're going to get a really good player, but they're not going to get one of those six position players I was talking about. The good news is if they can't trade out, you just take the best player available.
Yeah.
And then at 39 and 41 is where I think you get your weapons.
That is Todd McShay of The Ringer and The McShay Show, formerly of ESPN, talking about the Bears and the things that they might be able to do at number 10. I mean, it's officially everywhere. We knew that the Bears were going to be able to go a lot of different directions considering what they have signed already along the offensive line with Dahlman, Tooney, and Jackson, and what they have even done on the defense with Grady Jarrett and Dio Odangbo, even getting the receivers and or kick returners and Duvernay and Zacchaeus. It is something when then you look at it, and now we are officially in. Chris Emma had that great story citing sources that the Bears could move up in the draft. You hear Todd McShay right there suggesting that that's possible, but also really trading down seems to make more sense in terms of where he is coming from. So this is a blast. That's what I'll say about this. It's been a while where it has felt this ambiguous and mysterious and acceptable in just about any single direction for the Bears. I'm still on the Tyler Warren bandwagon. I do fear the Jets. I do think the Jets are the greatest competition for the fine tight end at the number seven spot, but he is still the guy for me. Later on, we're going to have kind of I don't know if it's a dissenting opinion on Ashton Jeanty necessarily, but there is another name in the running backs group that keeps popping up as a guy who could be as good as Jeanty, or dare I say, better. That will be coming up here in just a little while. I did want to give out a little bit of breaking news here, and it is from the world of basketball, and it involves the Chicago Bulls, and congratulations are in order for Billy Donovan, head coach of the Chicago Bulls. He has officially going into the 2025 Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. So Billy Donovan is in. There are other folks that are going in as well. Here's the list. Carmelo Anthony, Dwight Howard, Sue Bird, Maya Moore, Sylvia Fowles, Danny Crawford, the referee. And I love that when they get to this is Shams Charania, a tweet that I'm reading from here. This is just coming out. Danny Crawford mentioned him. And then it says 2008 U.S. Olympic men's team. That's going in. That's pretty cool. Come on in, guys. And then Billy Donovan, of course, goes in for all of his great work from his days at Florida. Obviously, at Oklahoma City, what he did there, the rise of the Thunder, now with the Chicago Bulls, and continues to, boy, what an interesting job Billy Donovan's had in his Bulls days. Like, you had built a core that felt like it was going somewhere, and now you're in a rebuild. But who better, like, to have to develop young players than Billy Donovan? Whose Bulls won again last night? Bulls 118, Portland 113. As the astounding numbers continue for the Bulls, it's fun. Josh Giddey, sixth triple-double, 15 points, 12 assists, 19 rebounds. Giddey! White, Kobe White, Nikola Vucevic, each with 30. So the bottom line is the Bulls are ninth in the East, five games to go. At Charlotte tomorrow, they'll win the Charlotte game. Charlotte's a disaster. Cleveland, at Cleveland, well, is Cleveland interested? Are you interested? And then you've got home against Miami. The Cleveland game on the road, by the way. Home against Miami, home against Washington, at Philadelphia. Bulls, as you probably know already, have clinched the play-in. Now it's just a matter of whether they can improve their play-in seed. It's not going to happen in terms of clinching a real playoff spot. It's play-in city for the Bulls the way it looks. I think mathematically it's possible, but not going to happen. So that's what's up with Billy Donovan going into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Congratulations to him and everybody associated with him. So that's pretty awesome. Back to the Bears, and we were just talking about Todd McShay. I do want to play you one more cut from him. And there is a player who maybe you're not hearing as much at number 10 for the Bears, because, you know, I keep talking about Tyler Warren. Kelvin Banks Jr.'s name keeps popping up to a lesser degree. Will Campbell, the two offensive linemen. Mason Graham was a dream of mine at one point. So now we start to get into some other names. There is a player for Texas A&M named Shamar Stewart. Defensive end, physical specimen, athlete, 6'5", 270. The problem? The numbers don't jump out at you. Maybe this is a similar situation to Dayo Odangbo. Like, he does other stuff. And he is built. 1.5 sacks last year. I know. 31 tackles, 5.5 tackle for loss. So why would anybody consider this player? We turn it over once again to Todd McShay.
He's definitely one of the most polarizing prospects in this class, right? Like,
yeah,
you got a lot of people who are, like, you know, former edge rushers themselves or diehard defensive line guys who watch him, who get very frustrated. Then you've got some scouts that are a little skittish to put their name on him, right? Because, you know, at the end of the day, the way you climb up in this industry, if you're a scout, is you have your name on a lot of good players and you become reliable and trustworthy. And so with a guy like Stewart, it usually becomes the coaches in the NFL getting involved in the process, which is like January, February, and looking and be like, oh, I can do a lot with that. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I get it. 1.5 sacks last year.
Yeah.
But 6'5", 267. 34-plus-inch arms. He ran a 4.59. He had a 1.58 10-yard split. And, like, the cutoff, like, Bill Polian always talked about trying to get his closers on the defensive side, like the Dwight Freeneys and those guys. And 1.6 or faster is, like, that's the elite. So you see a 1.58 there, and then he had the best broad jump. He had the second-best vertical jump. So it's like you see all those traits. And then you put on the tape, right? And it's not just this, you know, Mike Mamula stuff. This is like, this guy can actually play. He's a damn good run defender right now. And that travels to the NFL. He can, you know, he can, as a kind of a 5 technique or setting a hard edge, and, you know, at a 7 technique, he's going to be really good versus the run immediately. But the traits are rare as a pass rusher. And I see a guy who has, like, the flexibility that you need to work through contact. And I'll say this too. Over the year, you know, early in my career doing this, it was like, give me speed and guys with great change of direction and all that. Mm-hmm. But as I've kind of matured and studied and learned from my mistakes, like, I'll take power and strength over speed and athleticism. I'd love to have all of it, but power is what translates to the NFL as a pass rusher. And this guy is, you know, uniquely strong and can create his own power from the ground up. So I know it's a long answer. I think that, you know, Danielle Hunter was very similar coming out. Everyone was kind of scratching their head. He had like 5 quarterback hurries and a sack and a half his final year at LSU. Stewart, yeah, sack and a half. He had 33 quarterback hurries, though. A little bit different there.
Mm-hmm.
Similar type skill set. Stewart a little bit more flexible, I think, but similarly, like, just gifted and powerful. And we've seen Danielle Hunter to go on to have a great career with Vikings and Texans. And I think if you're pounding the table for him, Hunter's the example that you're giving.
Todd McShay of The Ringer right there talking about Shamar Stewart, the defensive end out of Texas A&M, 6'5", 270, and he used the word power. So it's just somebody to think about at that spot. Maybe not as flashy with the numbers, but a product that you could develop and might just be built for the NFL. When we return, let's talk about the Chicago Cubs. They've got a rematch against the Padres today after really nice win yesterday over San Diego, but one little concern. We'll talk about it next here. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
Bulls head coach Billy Donovan has been elected to the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame as part of the class of 2025.
I never started coaching the game to, you know, ever think about the Hall of Fame. You know, you did it because you love the game of basketball. It's the people along the way that kind of help you through the journey. Yeah, I mean, that would be the epitome to be able to have something like that happen.
Congratulations to Billy Donovan from all of us at Sports Radio 670 The Score, the official radio home of Bulls basketball.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What's happening? Mark Grody here. I was going to say I'm in for Steve Rosenblum, which I actually am. I am in for Steve Rosenblum, but my name is still on the marquee, so it's kind of still our show for some reason. So I'm here, and that should probably feel comfortable to you. I'll be with you up until 12:45. Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Yeah, it's official. Billy Donovan, put him in the hall. He is a Hall of Famer. Billy Donovan is going to be inducted into the 2025 Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. So congratulations to him. And you know that he will take that with all humility when I'm sure Bulls reporters talk to him before the game tomorrow, Bulls with a day game tomorrow. But what he will say is, we got to win. We got to beat Charlotte today. That game is at Charlotte tomorrow. Bulls win again last night. over Portland, 66 points in the second half of that game as the Bulls beat Portland 118 to 113. Now, I am here until 12:45. Cubs baseball takes over at that time. Cubs and Padres, it is a Matt Boyd, Nick Pivetta situation. Boyd, oh man, he was part of the worst Cubs game of the year so far this year. His first start. Yeah, remember, what was it? What was it, Cubs fans? You're driving in the game, you're like, what's he talking? That was the 10-6 loss in Arizona. He pitched well, though. Boyd, people forget, he pitched well. 5 shutout innings, he allowed 4 hits. That was the Kyle Tucker game where Tucker hit that 3-run homer in the 8th. It made it 6-2, and you're like, ah, this is good for so many reasons. The Cubs have breathing room. It was Kyle Tucker that homered. It's Kyle Tucker. And then Arizona scored 8 runs in the 8th. Cubs had a similar game last year right around this time against San Diego where they blew an 8-run lead. So get it out of your system. Be done with it. I think it was Nate Pearson and Eli Morgan that struggled that day. But yesterday, what a nice win for the Cubs. 3-1 over the Padres. And Shota Imanaga, you know, I go back and forth. Like, obvious, between Shota Imanaga and Justin Steele, who's your ace? Who is going to end up being the best pitcher out of these two guys? Because it was still Justin Steele, I thought, to a large degree last year. Like, I mean, I think he had a slow start last year. No, he was injured at the beginning of last year. He got hurt in the first game. So, yes, it was a slow start for Justin Steele, but then he picked up big-time steam. But Steele has struggled so far this year, while Shota has had quite a similar start to what he did last year. This man does pitch well in April. And, yeah, there were a couple fly balls that were, you know, knocked down and aided by the wind to some degree for Shota Imanaga. But, you know, when you start to succeed in that, and it's 2 years in a row, he's going to give up probably some more home runs when things start to normalize at Wrigley, if they do, you know, which was a problem last year. But Shota off to a pretty good start, and I'm open to anything between Shota and Justin Steele, because you need every inning out of those guys, and I'm not worried about Steele yet. It is a little bit fascinating that one of Steele's issues this year has been giving up the home run ball, because that ain't like him. So you could look at that and say, well, it's just an outlier start to the season, or is something amiss? I think it's just an outlier so far from Justin Steele for what I've seen. Now, Ryan Pressly has got 3 saves already this year, but nothing has looked right so far. And if you're a closer, you're entitled to look like that. But let's not keep this going like this. I mean, here's the essence of it for Ryan Pressly. The save that he had yesterday when he struck out Cronenworth to end that game, that was his first strikeout this year. What? And it was a great pitch, too. Just froze Cronenworth to end the game. But the fact that he had second and third in a 2-run game, another sweaty save for Pressly. I am not here to press the panic button yesterday, despite the trauma of last year, but just something to watch. I'd like to see that get online just a little bit better. All right, we're going to keep the Cubs talk going. As a matter of fact, I'm being told that we will go out to Wrigley Field next to get a preview of Cubs-Pirates Game 2 with Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.